Well, a lot of things are happening in the body of Christ around the world. A lot of things are happening outside the body of Christ around the world. Amen. Some are good, some are bad, and some are indifferent. But we have a hope of glory, right? We know that God says if we stay close to Him, that we won't have any concerns, right? That He's going to meet every one of our needs, no matter what's going on in the world. Now, you have to believe that. You really have to believe that. All right. So this morning, I was sitting studying, and I said, God, what do you want me to teach for Sunday? And I was going to teach on boldness, but I heard the word Titanic, right? So I said, Titanic, and I got the search, and there's a whole lot about the Titanic that's spiritual. So I have this here big teaching together about the Titanic. But God in His sovereignty had me run across the video. It came on my email yesterday. And this man is talking about what the glory is all about. And we really don't have the true concept of what the glory is. So we're going to see a video this morning. I want you to listen very carefully to what he is saying, because he's telling all about the glory. And in there, you're going to find out why the glory has not hit you in particular, because it can. God said, if my glory was to hit you like you are right now, it would kill you. And I think he brings this out. What did he tell Moses? You cannot look upon my face. See, if Moses would have seen God's face, he would have died because the glory was so strong. But I really want you to listen. This is a very, very, very good teaching about the glory. So go ahead. Father God, I thank you and I praise you. We really give you glory and honor. And Father, I thank you for it. I thank you for this video. I thank you for the anointing on the video. I thank you for the young man that you anointed to even give this teaching. And Father God, we just thank you. We praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So enjoy the video.
Welcome to Something More. I'm your host, Kyle Winkler. My guest today is a Jewish man who, by a profound encounter, became a believer in the Messiah. But there was something more. And recently, God has given him a revelation of a prayer, of a blessing in the Bible that's simple but supernatural. And it will open up intimacy and revelation of the Father for you like never before. Are you ready for this? Please welcome my guest, Warren Marcus. Warren, it's so good to have you today.
Good to be here with you, Kyle.
Well, you talk about Shekinah glory.
Yes.
And we're going to be going through that in the program. And I just want to tell the people that are watching to be prepared, because as he talks about the Shekinah glory, you're going to experience it in your homes too.
And you're starting, even just mentioning the glory and in association with the glory of the Father, something happens. It's an experiential thing of the Father visiting. And I could feel the glory already.
Yeah.
I mean, I could feel the glory just starting to talk about it.
It fills me with faith. I believe that you can feel it as well at home. But you haven't always been, as I said in the introduction, a believer in the Messiah.
Right.
You were raised Jewish man.
Right.
And so tell us a little bit about your childhood history with that.
Well, the journey began when I was 5 years old. And I was playing with my friend in front of my house, Bobby. And a lightning storm came up. It was a summer. And he became very frightened. He heard thunder and lightning. And he began running into his house. And he was very frightened. And I said, Bobby, where are you going? He goes, it's lightning. It could kill you. And I said, it won't hurt you. And he got to his door, and his mother was out there. And I said, Mrs. Parigi, Bobby says that lightning could kill you. She says it could. Now, you better get in your house right now. And she slammed the door. Well, the next clap of thunder and flash of lightning, I was running in. I was weeping. I was crying, you know. And the funny part is my agnostic Jewish sister, I mean, she really didn't know God that well, you know, but But she wanted to comfort me. She picked me up and she says, "What's wrong, Warren?" I said, "It's lightning. It could kill you." She goes, "Lightning won't hurt you. God will protect you." Mm. And that's the first time I heard God. I said,
"What's something to say from an agnostic Jew?"
Right. "God will protect you." Says, "God? Who's God?" "Well, you can't see him. He lives in a place called heaven, but he's everywhere. He's with you wherever you go." So I started thinking, is he in my room when it's dark at night? She says, "Yes, he's there too." So I started getting more frightened of this unseen person or thing called God.
Because you associate with this frightening thing called lightning.
Yeah. And so then I found myself in a dream. I'll never forget this dream. I could see it in my mind's eye as I share it with you. And I was in the clouds. It was lightning and thunder, and I was frightened. And all of a sudden, in the distance, the clouds parted in a circular fashion. It was the most beautiful golden light. And then these colorful beams were emitted from the light. They surrounded me, were all around me. And then I was being drawn into that light, and I felt this peace, you know?
Okay.
And I heard this voice, and it was the most beautiful voice inside me and without me, outside of me. And the voice said, "Do not be afraid. I am your friend. I will never hurt you." And I didn't want to wake up from that dream.
I bet not.
But I didn't realize it, but that dream was about meeting the Father in the Shekinah glory. I didn't realize it till later. But that dream profoundly changed my life. It put me on a search to want to know that same God and the sense of his reality that I sensed in that dream. I wanted to know him in that way.
Where did you go from there? Did you try to find that within your Jewish context?
Well, I'll tell you a funny thing happened. I would tell my mother, "Mom, I saw God."
And what did they say to that?
She said, "What do you mean you saw God?" I said, "In my dream." She goes, "Oh, that's nice, Warren."
Yeah.
I tried to tell my father, "Oh, that's nice, Warren," you know? So I went to kindergarten class and they said, "Take out your crayons, you know, just draw a picture." So I took this yellow crayon and I still have this drawing to this day. My mother saved it for me. And I started trying to draw the Shekinah. And I'm drawing this picture and this little Jewish kid next to me, Richie, says, "What is that supposed to be?"
Tried to draw the Shekinah as you saw it in your dream?
In my dream.
Okay.
And he said, "What is that supposed to be?" I said, "It's a picture." He said, "A picture of what?" I said, "It's a picture of God." He said, "You can't draw a picture of God." I said, "Why not?" He said, "Because nobody can see God." Well, I saw God. And I'm doing my picture. Well, he gets in a big argument with me. The class starts laughing at me, you know, mocking
me.
Yeah,
I can
imagine. Teacher says, "Shut up, everybody." You know, I said, "What's going on?" He said, "He said he saw God." And I said, "I did see God." And I'm in tears by that point in my dream. And then the teacher comes over and I lift the picture up. She's looking at me and looking at the picture and she thinks I'm a shugana. She thinks I'm crazy, you know. But that was interesting because my first impulse was to, if I can't tell people about the revelation of what I saw, maybe I could draw a picture for others to see. And when you think about our calling and purposes, it says in Ephesians 1, chapter 1, that we are called, right, by God before the foundations of the world for a purpose and a divine purpose, right? And what I believe is, before I even knew it, he put in me the desire to show in picture form the revelation of God. And that's what I'm doing here at It's Supernatural. We're dramatizing, we're showing pictures of what different guests have in terms of their reality with God and showing forth, because a picture is worth 1,000
Isn't
words.
Isn't that amazing? I always sit in amazement of how God gets our attention and gives us experiences, and we don't even realize it, in our childhood, of what our destiny is in the future. And here you are, just as you said, producer, executive producer, It's Supernatural, and getting to paint this picture for so many people. October 1974, everything changed for you. That was the moment when you believed in the Messiah, right?
I mean, the
everything
power...
Everything changed for
you. Because it was an experiential impartation of the person of the Messiah.
All right, hold that thought. When we come back, we are going to talk about this prayer that God has given Warren a revelation of that is going to open you to new intimacy with the Father. Stay with us. Welcome back to Something More. I'm your host, Kyle Winkler, and with me is my guest, Warren Marcus. Thanks so much, Warren, for being with me again. Last segment, we talked about your encounter with Jesus. What a powerful story.
Amen.
But there was more. There was something more for you. It didn't stop there. Tell us about that.
Well, I was living in a honeymoon period with Jesus, you know. It's like nothing I could do wrong, you know that. But then you start hitting the wall after a while, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And somebody comes up to me and says, you know, have you had the fullness yet? The fullness of what? He said, you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I said, what do you mean? There's more. The Holy Spirit wants to come upon you. I said, well, I already have him within me when I received you. Yes. That's the fruit of the Spirit, but there's something more. There's an impartation of the Holy Spirit upon where you could be a witness, where you could flow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and all these things. So I started pursuing that, and there was an incredible thing that happened. There was a impartation that came of the Holy Spirit so I could know the person of the Holy Spirit in an experiential way, in a supernatural way, not just know about the Holy Spirit. So just like here okay. It was Jesus and the Holy Spirit, having that where I could talk to Yeshua, Jesus, and there's certain things that I receive out of that relationship with Him. And the Holy Spirit, I could commune with the Holy Spirit, and there's an impartation of healing and other things that He brings, right? And this had carried me for most of my life, from 1974, was I a believer, all the way through to several years ago when I had this other experience.
And your experience with the Holy Spirit, is that what people would call a baptism of the Holy Spirit?
Right.
So you had a baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then after that, something more again.
Right.
And God gives you this revelation of this prayer.
Right.
A blessing that is in our Bibles.
Yes.
What is it?
Well, my friend called me, this guy Rick, and he called me. He had this experience that was beyond just the prayer. When I read the prayer, it was kind of cool in the Bible. And it's basically found in Numbers chapter 6. And when it says, the Lord bless you and keep you. Mm-hmm. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Now, that's a beautiful prayer. But this, my friend had been so blown away by this prayer being pronounced over him by this tomb that
a
was
tomb.
A tomb in Jerusalem that they believe was a high priest tomb, where they found these two amulets. This is a replica of the amulet. This is a replica of
like
the pendant.
Like a pendant type
right.
of, okay.
And they believed the high priest could have worn this. And on it in the Paleo-Hebrew was this prayer. It's the oldest evidence we have of Scripture, 400 years older than the Dead Sea Scrolls.
And when did they find this?
This was found in 1979. And what happens is sitting in the museum in Israel. But here's the most important thing. I started thinking, well, wait a minute. If that prayer, that particular prayer, is the oldest evidence of Scripture that God preserved, it must be important for us today. And as I looked into the prayer, I found out this. We don't think of it this way. But that prayer is the only prayer in the entire Bible that God Himself wrote. Just like He wrote the Ten Commandments, He gave that prayer to Moses and said, have this prayer prayed over the people every day by the high priest.
So what is the context? Why in that instance did God pray that prayer over His people? What did He give them?
I believe He gave, well, here's what happened. When that prayer was prayed over them, it says, I will put My name upon them and bless them.
Uh-huh.
And what it means, name, in the Hebrew is Shem. It's not just the name. It's not, my name's Warren, right? It's not just your name. This is what it means in Hebrew. Shem means, Hashem means the name. My very person, my holy character, my power and authority. It's an impartation of the Father. So what they received for 40 years is an impartation, a little bit of the glory that was in the Shekinah glory that was in the Holy of Holies. As the priest held out his hands, there was a shedding forth of the glory. Wow. And here's what it did. As I read the Bible, I was blown away. They had divine provision, manna, quail. They had perfect health. They had angels giving them protection in the middle of a desert, water from a rock. right? They had their shoes and clothes never wore out for 40 years. How would you like to have not have that,
that would be,
cleaning
it
bills?
It would save me some money for
right,
sure. Yeah.
Right. So this blew me away. But when I said the prayer in the English over myself, I went, well, that's a nice prayer.
It's a beautiful prayer.
What's going
prayer,
on? Yeah. Why is it not affecting me like it affected my friend? And okay. It put me on a search to understand the deeper meaning of this, of the only prayer that God himself wrote in the entire Bible.
So why do you think now, you mentioned it was found in 1970s, why has God revealed this now for such a time as this?
Well, he wants us to understand there's a lot of people ministering out there, and they're saying, I'm ministering, and the atmosphere of the glory comes.
Now, explain the glory here.
They're saying it's the glory, and they're saying, you know, I don't have to lay hands on people. People are getting healed in mass, in mass, in
Absolutely.
Meetings. But it's still an it. You know, it's I want it. I want the glory to show up.
Like the glory is some product or something that comes in it, as
right.
you said. Yeah,
what
okay.
I found out is the glory is a person. And I wanted to clear this today. The uh-huh. glory is the Father. And how I found that out is simple.
Ooh,
there's
good.
Scriptures in the Old Testament where Moses met in the tent of the meeting, and he says, show me your glory. He wanted to get beyond the cloud to see that light that was emanating out from the midst of that cloud and where the voice of God would come to him and give him revelation. And he wanted to get in there, and he says, show me your glory. And the Father says, you cannot see my face.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So right away, it's the face of God is in the glory. Then flash to the New Testament. Mount of Transfiguration.
Yes.
Jesus is there with two others, Moses and Elijah. Peter, James, and John are sitting there, and they see this display. And what happened to Jesus? He was glowing, just like Moses glowed in the glory of the Shekinah. His face was glowing, his rhema, his clothes was glowing. And they said, let us build three tabernacles, one for you, Moses, one for you, Jesus, right? One for Moses. And it says the cloud lifted and came on them, and they became sore afraid.
That's incredible.
And here's the thing. Listen to this. A voice came not from heaven, but from within the cloud. And the voice said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. So the glory is the Father.
The glory is the Father. On that note, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, Warren is going to unpack this prayer even further, and he is going to pray it over you. Stay with us.
You are watching ISN, the It's Supernatural Network.
Welcome back to Something More. I'm your host, Kyle Winkler, and with me is Warren Marcus, and we are having an anointed time as we're going through this prayer. As you said, it's beautiful in the English language,
right?
But in the original Hebrew language, it just takes on a whole
yeah.
other
dimension. There's a lot more that we're missing. In our Bibles, it's about this big, but the prayer is about this big.
Well, you
and
teach
so
us
when
about
it's said
this.
In the Hebrew, you're getting the full impact. But when we understand with our mind what it says, it's amazing, and I'll share a little
Take
bit
us
of
there.
This. So in your King James or in your Bible, it will say, the Lord bless you. But in the Amplified Hebrew to English translation, it's may Jehovah, Yahweh, your heavenly Father, he who exists, kneel in front of you. Why it says kneel? Baruch is blessed. Baruch means to kneel. It's the camel kneels in front of you to give you and the gifts it's bearing. So it's the Father kneeling, making himself available with his arms extended like a good father, kneeling before his child. You're his child in order to minister and bestow comfort. And he's about to give you some incredible things. These first six of five portions are impartations of the Father himself. You're not even receiving it. You're receiving him, and you get
That's
things
good.
Out of being with him. The second one, and keep you. Okay? Keep you is... This is the picture of the Father now. It's like we've kneeled in front of the Father now. We're both kneeled. And it's a Father putting his arms around us in a divine embrace. Mm. And this is him keeping us. And in Israel, they would build this stones around the sheep of the pasture, and they put thorns around it to keep the predators out. And so this is a picture of the Father doing it. And keep you really means, may Yehovah, your heavenly Father, He is going to guard you with a hedge of thorny protection that will prevent Satan and all your enemies from harming your body, your soul, your mind and spirit, your loved ones, and all your possessions. This is Psalm 91 being activated in the presence of the shadow of the Most High God. And this is what you're receiving, deliverance. You're receiving all these things that come about. See, we try to seek those things individually. Say, God, deliver me. God, save me. But when you're with Him, you receive what's in heaven automatically. Yes. So it's being with Him. The next part of it says, the Lord make His face to shine upon you. This is the panim of God, the face. Shine means or. That's the Hebrew word. And what it means is a doorway. It's a portal opening up to revelation. It's a doorway and it's also order. And so what you receive when this portion comes upon you, when you gaze into the face of the Father, and that's what He's doing, He's shining it. Moses wrote the Torah under the revelation of the impartation of the Father's face. And so what it's doing is this. It says, may Yehovah, Yahweh, your heavenly Father, illuminate the wholeness of His being towards you continually, bringing you to order so you could fulfill your God-given destiny and purpose. So when His face shines upon you, it's the doorway to heaven where illumination, revelation, and impartation of order is imparted. You get a singleness of mind. I mean, right now, as I'm saying this, I can't even think of anything else but Him. I receive His mind. The mind of Messiah comes upon me. And then the next part is what? And be gracious to you. Now, here's what this means. This is the Father looking at you, eyes of love. He's smiling at you. This is where He's really saying, I love you, my daughter. I love you, my son. I am well pleased in you. We need to hear this from our Father. That's what Jesus needed to hear when He was baptized, right?
That's right.
When He was baptized, said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. The Father wants to say this to you. He's not your enemy. It's like when I was a little boy in that dream. He didn't say, be afraid of me. He says, what? Do not be afraid. Yeah. I am your friend. Well, I want you to know He's not just your friend. He's your Father. I am your Father and I will never hurt you. And so here's what it says in the Amplified Hebrew to English. May Yehovah, Yahweh, your heavenly Father, provide you with perfect love and fellowship, never leaving you, and give you sustenance, provision, and friendship. So this is what He's doing. He's showing and imparting Himself to us in a powerful way. But now I love this next part, okay? This next part is this. In our English, it says, the Lord lift up His countenance upon you. Yeah. The word for lift is NASA. You know, like the rocket ships lifting off?
Yeah.
NASA. What it is it's the Lord lifting us up in His arms and carrying us like a little child. Mm. He's looking at us, gazing down at our eyes, and we're looking in His eyes. No one exists in the world, in the universe, except you and He. And He does certain things as He walks with you. He's encouraging you. He's calming you. And this is what it says in the Amplified Hebrew to English. May Yehovah or Yahweh, your heavenly Father, lift up and carry His fullness of being towards you, bringing everything that He is to your aid, supporting you with His divine embrace and His entire being. And that, again, is the picture of the Father carrying you. And there's a scripture in Zephaniah. There's a scripture in Zephaniah 3:17 that says, He will rejoice over you. I can see the Father. He's saying things. He's rejoicing. He's dancing with you in His arms, right? Mm-hmm. With gladness. He will quiet you with His love. And He will rejoice over you. This is incredible. With singing.
Oh.
How many times I remember taking my little daughter, my son, and I would sing songs. Of course, you wouldn't like my voice if you heard it. But I would sing songs. They liked it because they smiled. And that's what the Father wants to do to you. And then this last portion of the impartation of the Father, okay? And give you peace. Mm. This last portion is actually what He comes to give you. This is a result of it, okay? Shalom means so much more than the absence of war. And here what it is, may Yehovah God, Yahweh, your heavenly Father, He who exists, set in place all you need to be whole and complete so you can walk in victory moment by moment by the power of the Holy Spirit. May He give you supernatural health, peace, welfare, safety, soundness, tranquility, prosperity, perfection, fullness, rest, harmony, as well as the absence of agitation and discord.
I'll take it. Now, Warren, you have a video. What's the significance of this?
This is a video of what happens to people as it's sung over them in Hebrew. This is where the impartation takes place. And I want you to know at home, as this video of the singing of that prayer in Hebrew over you happens, I want you to understand that this is not the singer singing it over you. It's Yeshua in heaven. We're doing it in His Shem, in His person. He is pronouncing this blessing over you, and He's seated at the right hand of the Father in the glory of the Father. And so I want you to just get ready to receive the impartation right now. Has placed Himself upon you, not just His name, but His very person, His holy character, His power and authority is behind you, His Shekinah glory is upon you. But I want you to do this. If you've never done this before, tell Daddy God, I love you. I love you, Daddy. If you've never done it before, say, I love you, Daddy. Tell Him that right now.
Wow, so powerful, so anointed. You know, Ephesians 1, 4 through 5 talks about how before the world began, God saw us as holy, blameless, without fault through Christ. And because of Christ, we are adopted into His family. The Father has adopted us. So, so good. Thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of Something More. Be sure to check the website for more episodes just like this one. God bless.
What did you think of that? Wasn't that awesome? Did you receive anything as He was singing or they were singing over you? God is so awesome. He's nothing but love, pure love. And all He wants to do is bless us. He wants to give us one miracle after another. He wants to wash us clean. But through this video, He just said, I just want to bless my people. I never knew that was the only prayer that God ever wrote. I didn't even know He wrote one. There's so much revelation that God is bringing out at this given time. And it's not so we can say, well, that was good, but it's so we can grow. I really believe that each one of you, if you have a computer, and I think you all do, is you need to pull that up and just let them sing that blessing over you. And just keep, I told Brother Larry, I like to have that put on my, or we play this songs all day and night. Just have it playing, you know, on our recorder. You know, God is a just God. He's a holy God. And He really doesn't ask too much from us. He just asks us to trust Him, to love Him, you know, believe in Him, believe in His Word, and just let Him keep you. If you notice, He said that that blessing, they spoke over their families every day. And you know, as I was watching, I thought it would be so wonderful if we, every day, went into our Bibles, what's Numbers chapter 6, verse 24, and we read that blessing over our families. even if you don't have family, over yourself. And just you, just like he said, for 40 years they didn't want for anything. And they were an unruly bunch, just like we are, right? But every day they were, that blessing was spoken over them, and look what God has done, did for them and their children. Don't you believe that God, I notice everything God places in front of me is for the right moment, the right time period, the right frame, he's saying, time period. And we are supposed to take that thing and apply it to the list of other things that he's given to us. You're going to have to understand that God is just and he's holy. He's not going to bless you so you can go out there and work for the devil. He's not going to do that. And if you have professed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you should be walking and living a holy life. You should be an example of Jesus. Everything you do and say should be an example of what Jesus does and says. And we all know that that has not been possible up to today. There's a whole lot of things we do every day, maybe one thing a day, that does not exemplify Jesus Christ. And you know, it really bothers me anymore how people judge others when they themselves need to look what's going on in their life. And God's really been impressing upon me that that's really a sin that's running rampant in the body of Christ right now, is judging others when we ourselves have not judged our own self, cleaned our own self up so that we can walk holy before the Father. I was sitting at my desk a Friday night and studying, and all of a sudden I just uncontrollably started weeping, just uncontrollably, could not control it in any way, shape, or form. And the Father came on over me and he said, I want you to come up into the seventh heaven with me right now. And then he spoke some things to me. He said, in the seventh heaven there is absolutely no darkness, absolutely none. There is just peace and joy and love in the seventh heaven. Now, if you study about the seventh heaven, you can only go there if God invites you. You just can't sit there and say, well, I'm going to go to the seventh heaven. That doesn't work that way. You know, when God was inviting all of us to go to the third heaven in here, he very quietly said to me, I want you to come to the seventh heaven. And I'm going to be honest, there's times I said, well, God, I'm in the seventh heaven. And he was nowhere around. I was not in the right frame of mind to be in the seventh heaven. Are you understanding this? But Friday night, whenever I was sitting there and he just came upon me, and then he just spoke to me a lot of things when I was there with him. And then just like that, I was back. But I couldn't quit crying for quite some time because the awesomeness of his presence and how he loves us so dear, desperately and so completely. And he overlooks a whole lot of our flesh because he knows how much we love him in our hearts. How many of you said, oh God, forgive me, I really do love you and I'm so sorry I did this. And how many of you hear him say, I know you do. And I forgive you. And then we move on. We don't sit and dwell on the fact that we did something to upset the Father. We just keep moving. Because the devil will make you sit in that valley a long time and lose out on what God has for you. I'm just hearing God say he wants to encourage each and every one of you this morning that there is a secret place in his bosom for each one of us. And he's inviting each one of you into that secret place that he has just for you, so he can commune with you in that secret place, where he can wash away every tear, cleanse you of any faults that you have, and make you pure and holy as he is holy and pure. So he's saying, do you want me to sustain you? Or do you still want to sustain your own self? He's saying, if you allow me to sustain you, you will have all things and be all things in me. But as long as you hold on to your own strength, you'll be absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. You know, if you really look at the Bible and what happened to Jesus, he lived life. He was human. And he made a way of escape for everything, sin that's going to come upon you. So you can't say there was no way of escape. Yes, there is, and it's in Jesus. And it says you crucify your flesh and you get into his loving arms, that you're able to overcome the sin nature that so easily besets you. It's in his arms. No place else can you overcome that sin nature but in his arms. You know, as long as we're, God really impressed this upon me the other night, as long as we're judging and not liking somebody else, whether it's a brother or sister or somebody in the world, we are not yet crucified. Are you listening? God says, love the unlovable. Isn't that what he says? And if you will look at the mote in your own eye, you won't be looking for faults in somebody else. This is something that's running rampant right now, and so we really have to work on that. And I've noticed that people's sin nature is coming to the surface. We really have to work on whatever God is bringing to the surface and get rid of it. Because as you heard him saying, that God is a glory, and as I was listening to that the other day, I thought, how dumb, I didn't realize that before, that God is the glory. And what that little boy saw was nothing but pure light, and it was gold light, and that's what he was drawing. The world is not going to understand you. Do you please get that in your head right now. The world is not going to understand you. Because what's the Bible say? We are supposed to be peculiar people. We are not supposed to be a clone of somebody else. We are peculiar people. And so you're going to have to be peculiar. You're going to have to allow God use you any way he wants to use you. And you're going to have to be able to take somebody else judging you. You're just going to have to be able to take that. Or you're no good with... Look how they judge Jesus. Look how they crucified him day in and day out. They were constantly spitting in his face, constantly trying to get him to say something that wasn't true, or even say things that were true, but he did not want to say them. What did he do? He became silent and said nothing. And the body of Christ has to learn when to be silent and when to speak. We are so prone to wanting to have the last word that we just speak out of our minds and we say things that should never be said and we hurt a whole lot of people. I'm going to tell you right now, it's really hard to be quiet when you know you're right and you know that God's told you to do something, but it's better to be quiet and edify Jesus than it is to get your own way and crucify Jesus. Are y'all listening to this morning? God, I'm hearing God say he's doing a new thing upon this earth. And when he's finished with his people, they are going to be just like Jesus. And if you can't allow him to change you, then he has no use for you. And he's saying we're on the cutting edge of liberty in him. We're in the very cutting edge of what revival is all about. The lost souls are going to be running into the house of God. And he's only going to have a people that are going to be purified so he can use them to minister to the lost and the dying. You cannot do church as usual anymore. We just can't. It's just not in God's plan. Why? Because we're in a new dispensation of time. We're in a great warfare right now with the enemy because he knows if he doesn't get it done now, it's not going to get done. So he's fighting God's people tooth and nail with everything he has. He's thrown at God's people. and see what's happening here. If you're called to be a leader, and God told me he was going to send people in, he was going to train to be leaders and send them out and to be a leader, then you're going to have to be strong in the Lord. But you're going to have to be humble, submissive, and move on. Read about Jesus. How many times, he had a right to do a whole lot of things he didn't do. But he didn't do them. He was quiet. And he moved on. And he had a great impact in the world. How many of you in here still think that you have to let everybody know who you are? How much you know? Well, God told me. Well, he probably did. But maybe now's not the time he wants you to tell it. Are you listening here? Many times God tells me things. He said, this is just for your benefit, nobody else's. But there's some of you sitting here today that your sin nature has really come to the surface. And God wants you to deal with them or you're going to go out. You're going to go under. It's time to deal with that sin that so easily besets you. And you guys who are walking holy before the Lord, you're going to run into unjust people. You're going to run into people that's hateful and bitter, and they're going to come against you. And you're going to have, and I'm talking about in your own households, your workplaces, and you're going to have to be so in tune to God that you're going to only move when he tells you to move and only say what he tells you to say. And sometimes God said when bitterness, envy, and jealousy and strife raises up its ugly head, he's just going to have to have you just sit and be still. Are you listening here, guys? You can no longer be in control. God is in control where there is no control. God is calling the shots or there is no shots. We are walking in the heavenly divine footsteps of Jesus. That's how God just said it. And if we're going to stay in those footsteps, we have to follow every word that God's telling us to do. God's saying, don't be ashamed of your calling. Be ashamed of how you're walking your calling out. In other words, do everything decent and in order. Then you won't have any shame. But if there's shame coming upon you, check yourself out. Make sure you're doing things the way God's calling you to do them and not the way you want to do them. A lot of my testimony that I was given over the years about myself was to train you and teach you, but some of you didn't catch it. Went right over your head. I guess it was because there was no gold and glitter in the wall. And so what's happening is you're running down into the valleys and you're paying some prices that God never meant you to pay because you didn't heed what God said. One day, you'll be standing before people. You're going to be giving your testimony. And you're going to watch them just sit there and go. And to yourself, you're going to be weeping inside because they're just getting ready to go into a very big valley that they could have avoided if they'd have paid attention to what God was saying. Are you listening? This is why every word that you speak has to be from God and not from your own flesh. There's a lot of times I'm talking, I don't know if it's me talking or God talking, because he just takes over and he just says what he wants to say. If you get emails from me, I'll be writing you and all of a sudden God just takes off talking. I'm done, because God said what had to be said, and I don't have to add any more to it. Are you listening here? That should be a rule in your life, every area of your life. There's many things that happen in my own personal life that I would really like to say a whole lot about. But God won't let me. He ties my tongue and says, be still. But then, there are times when you don't want to get involved at all, and all of a sudden, bloop, out comes all this stuff. And you know it's going to cause you some headache. God, why did you say that? I didn't really want to get involved in that, but God wanted to get involved in it. Are you listening to this? So see, if you're really ruled and reigned by the Spirit of God, you will speak by the Spirit. And I'm going to tell you, if you're living with somebody that's not godly, they'll come against you for that. They'll say it's your flesh. They'll say all manner of evil about you. But you have to know that it was God, or it will destroy you. Are you listening? See, if you practice only speaking when God tells you to speak, then you won't have to worry about any backlash from what you say. All right? But if you don't practice only saying what God says, then you're going to get the backlash. And you really, you know, if you say only what God says, you can say it and walk away and just be as happy, you know, like you just lost your mind, happy. And they're back here having a fit, saying all men are evil about you, but you don't really care. Because after all, it wasn't you speaking anyhow, it was God. All right, and don't take what I say and twist it to serve your own purpose, because people do that too. Please. God has said quite a while back, religion is out of the picture. No more religion. It's only spirit called to spirit. Now, who's ruling and reigning in your life? The spirit or religion? I'm not even going to bring anything out. I just want you to check yourself. You know whether or not you're walking in the spirit or in religion. All right? And I know a lot of religious people sitting in the house of God, and this one included, that walk in religion sometimes, and they walk right out of the spirit. Don't be one of those. All right, so if you're called, God's calling you to start a home church, and then I know if he's doing that, eventually it'll be a big church, then you have to know without a shadow of a doubt that God called you to do it, because you're going to become against. And you have to just go ahead and keep on going no matter what anybody's saying about you. Are you listening? Now, this is a trap that I fell into that I don't want none of you to fall into. You know, I've always been a person that always sit in the background. Didn't like to be upfront with anything. Even though in school I was in all the school dances and everything, you know, all their plays. But otherwise, I like to sit in the background. And so when God called me forth, I didn't understand I had a special anointing. I didn't understand that it was something that it wasn't new, because being a prophet is not new. I didn't know that I had special giftings, and I would never allow anybody to honor me in any way, shape, or form. I just thought that was ungodly. And the other day, as I was watching this movie, I was watching something else, and they were honoring Jesus. And God said, you would never allow anybody to honor you. Now, I don't want any honor, but what I'm saying is, and he said, because you didn't do that, that hindered your walk with me. Because I couldn't use you to the full potential I wanted to use you. I didn't realize I was a prophet. There's a difference between being a prophet and prophesying. And I didn't realize a prophet until God showed me in the Word. But then still, when he showed me that, I didn't understand the fullness of that. I just really was really content and sitting in the background. I never wanted a front row seat. I always liked to sit in the back. And I was always come against about that, but I still don't feel comfortable sitting in the front. You see a whole lot more in the back than you can in the front seat. Amen. Because you know what's going on behind. You know, I don't know what's going on when I'm sitting up here. People see me look around, rather they go, what's she looking at? You know, I just feel something, so I'm looking to see what's going on. But anyhow, don't seek honor. Stay humble before the Father. If God wants to exalt you, he's going to exalt you. You don't have to promote your ministry. God promotes your ministry. We had some people come here one Sunday just not too long ago, and the young lady said they had an early morning service, and they said, God, is this all there is to you this morning? He said, no. I want you to go over there to Railroad Street. There's a church over there. Evangelist Barbara Lynch is in there. I want you to go to her service today. She never knew this church even existed. She never heard of me before. Was totally in complete awe. But what I'm getting at here, God promotes the ministry. Are you listening? So why are you out there promoting your ministry? Why are you trying to exalt yourself? Did God call it? or did he not? Be excited, you know, like whenever we ordain a lot of reverends here, or even evangelists or whatever, but be excited by that. Watch how you're being ordained, because that is going to play an important role on how you function from that point on. Amen. I'm not going to go into how I was ordained, but it really was the mainstay of me being able to stay and do the work that God's called me for to do, because, see, I knew without a shadow of a doubt that God called me into the ministry that day. All right? Many of you in here, God's going to take you out of the boat and put you out there in the waters. And you're going to have to walk among the world. Are you ready to get out of the boat? Have you taken the teaching that God has given you, and have you applied it to yourself, and have you allowed God to change you? I'm still being changed. I'm still being rearranged. Like I told Sister Barbara, when God starts changing you, you don't know what's going on. You don't even know where you're at or what you're doing. You don't even know if you even exist anymore. I mean, you just really don't. And so, see, we just have to let God, and I just have to say, God, I'm hearing God say, stay humble before me when the change is going on, and you won't walk into any confusion. And so what I say, and so now I'll say what I was going to say. I say, God, I do not understand what you're doing in my life at all, period. So I'm just going to do like you told me to do years ago, take one day at a time. And one step at a time, one day at a time. And God, I'm going to hold on to your hand. You better hold on to mine, because I don't know where you're taking me to. Be honest with yourself and with God. I don't understand what you're doing with me, God. And see, the only way you can do that is if you're really intimate with the Father. If you really trust him with all of your heart and know that he's never going to let you stumble nor fall. He won't. He will be right there to catch you. There was an article went by the other day, and I think I sent it to Sister Nancy Connell. But anyhow, in the last paragraph, I think it was, she said, God told me to pull myself up by my bootstraps. Somebody told her, and she said, right away, I thought of you. She was pulled up by her. She did it by her own bootstraps. They got herself going, whatever it was, man or woman, and they were doing the works of the Father. Now, what are you going to do when the enemy comes after you? And God's saying, and he will. What are you going to do when he comes after you with everything he has? And I'm going to tell you, believe me, his arsenal is full. He goes to all limits to destroy you. He comes in every avenue. And he doesn't care how he fights dirty. So what are you going to do when he comes at you? Are you going to crumble? Or are you going to hold on to the things? That's why you have to remember what God has spoken to you. Because my thing is, God, you said. You said. Man didn't say, you said. And I hold on to that for dear life. If not, I would have drowned a long time ago. So each one of you here, I'm hearing God say, you're on a new pathway starting today. And on this new pathway, the enemy has strewn many downfalls for you. Now, are you going to fall? Or are you going to stand? In your own strength, God is saying you can't stand. But in his strength, you can withstand all things. So today, God taught you who? What the glory was. It's him. He taught you about the special prayer blessing that he wrote over you. And he's also taught you that his love is the only thing that matters, his love. It doesn't matter if people are trying to use you as a stepping stone to get where they're going. You just keep walking on your path, and God will take care of them. A lot of us older people, we're going to find ourselves helping others. God will have us take a side seat somewhere. Still working for him, but sort of take a couple steps backwards so others can be brought forward to do the ministry, because everybody dies at some time. I'm not going to die, though, by the way. I'm going in the rapture. God told me so. So that's what I hang on to. Amen. Somebody had a birthday yesterday, and I said, how old are you? And they said, 62. I said, boy, 62, I was just a hopping around. I was in my prime. Well, I would be too if I didn't have a bad back. Come on. We are what we are in our mind. I said to God this morning coming down, I said, you know, God, people in the world might not love me, but you love me, and I know I'm loved. And I'm the most beautiful thing in the world because I'm your daughter, and you made me. And I felt so good inside. You're beautiful because God made you. You don't have to take a back seat. Ladies, you don't have to take a back seat to nobody because you're made in the image of God. Are you listening? You're beautiful. I don't know why God put that in my spirit, but you're beautiful. And you're strong, and He loves you. You don't need the love of, you do not need the love of a person because He loves you. I didn't say don't want that. I said you don't need it. And this is why people stay in relationships that are bad. They think they need that person's hate. And really what you need is God's love. If you'll just glean from what God tells you, even in your own personal closet, if you just glean from what he tells you, watch how you'll grow. You won't have to rely on somebody else to make you feel good. You won't. Some of you in here know what I'm talking about, because you just know that you know that you know that you're special. Everybody in here is special, but you don't know that. What happens is you won't receive that. But you are special and you are unique. And I don't care what you've done in life. God knows all about you. He knew you were going to do it when He formed you in mother's womb. Quit allowing the enemy to tear you down. Quit allowing the enemy to make you believe you're no good. God can never use you. You're unique and you're different. I'm not giving you a license to sin now. I am not. God is telling you this to encourage you to understand who you are in Christ. And don't allow somebody else, I've done this in my lifetime, don't allow somebody else to steal your joy. Don't allow somebody else to steal who you are. You don't conform to another person. You conform to how Jesus made you. Amen. Come on. God said there's a destiny out there waiting for us. Are you going to be brave enough to go forward and fulfill that destiny? I look around, every one of you, there's a plan and a purpose, because I know I've prophesied over, I think, everybody in here. And whatever God has spoken to you, God is wanting to bring it to pass right now. Right now, not 10 years from now, not 10 weeks from now, but right now. But He told me the other night, He said, the reason why nothing's come to pass is because my people can't truly believe that I can do the impossible. And that's why I was so excited about Brittany. That's the impossible. And two doctors can't believe it. But there she is, a testimony. Amen. With all the sickness raging through my body, I said, God, You told me I'm healed. I'm standing on that. I don't go to a doctor. My family said, you need to go to the doctor. You need to go to the doctor. I know what's wrong with me. I don't need to go to a doctor to kill me. Are you understanding this? I need to go to the doctor, trust in the doctor who's healed me before, and I know I'm not going to die. That makes some of my family very upset. They would like me to get out of the picture. I'm not going anywhere. You might. But I'm not. Are you understanding this? See, I know what God has told me. And there's some days, I'm going to tell you the truth, I said to God, really? The pain racks everywhere, you know. But you said, I'm going to heal you. Are you ready to step into that glory light so that God can allow you to see His face? And His face is a glory. It's not going to be, His face is a glory. I was talking to somebody, they said about, and Brother Brett, he sent me an email. He said, there's probably devils everywhere. We just don't see them. And that that brought to mind one time I was in a bed getting ready to go to sleep, and I heard a noise. I looked over, and here was three devils standing. I said, "You get out of my bedroom right now." And I was out evangelizing, so I was in a room that somebody had paid for. "Get out of my room in the name of Jesus. You can't touch me." They said, "We're not after you. We're after the one sleeping over there." I said, "Well, you know what? You have to get over me to get over there. So just get going right now in the name of Jesus." But I saw three of them, little short things. They left. All right, so can you say that to the devil if you see him? Can you say, "You can't get to them. You have to come through me first"? Come on, men. Supposed to be the priest in your household. Can you say, your children are all messed up. Can you say to them, "You can't have them. You have to go through me first"? And are they going to leave? Come on. God wants you to think this morning here, because he wants to do a great mighty works within you this morning. He's trying to get you prepared to really, truly receive the glory of God. So if you're really, really ready to receive that glory, so when it drops, I won't kill you. God wants you to come up, and he's going to touch you tonight, this morning, with a special anointing that you'll be able to receive the glory of God. And I'm hearing him say he wants to transfigure you this morning. Let's not be content with just being normal. Let's not be content with just normal services. I don't want you to be content until the glory of God is on you so strong that you have a hard time even getting out of bed in the morning. I do not want you to be content in the state you're at today, because this is a special time for you. God's had you here for a special reason. Now, you know, we always let God do his work first, and then we'll do the prophesying. But right now, let God give you that special anointing that you're going to need right now to receive the glory. Just let God consume you right now.